as a kid, you probably like to explore different places that you shouldn't go. In a recent EPP bonus episode, we hear the story of a presence on a family farm that keeps a child from getting into something he probably shouldn't be getting into, meaning a tunnel underneath the grounds. It is one creepy story, and you'll only hear it on EPP bonus episode number 53.
You won't forget this one.
Sign up to be an EPP, get the episode and all of our bonus episodes, and help keep our show on the air. Sign up, click become an EPP at realghoststoriesonline.com.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, it is where it all began. We will share with you from my personal archive of ghost stories, basically the content that inspired this show to be created. Okay, this is material that you probably have not heard before. This is not like a greatest hits of the last year or anything. This is some content going back more than 10 years ago in my radio career of ghost story radio. All right? Where it all began. So I'll share that brief story, and then we'll go right into some of these ghost stories, and I'll preface what you're about to hear on the show today before we play these calls back. Basically, the beginning and the origins of this show go way far beyond just last year or 2 years ago when we started working on the show as you hear it today. The original origins of this show and the style of the show that we're doing here actually started doing roughly 15 years ago on FM radio around Halloween every year, sometimes even just throughout the month of October when I was working on music radio stations in different parts of the country. And I would do ghost stories. I was hosting a night show at the time. And I would just take calls from people because I liked hearing ghost stories and I thought it was something fun to play between the songs. So I saved all of those calls over the years from the various places I was on the air at, and I have them archived. And they're not super long. A lot of the calls are about a minute in length. I was able to interact on those calls because at that time it was live radio, so you can, you know, talk to the people. It's not just a message where someone's delivering their story as we have it set up now. So that's going to be a little different to hear as the back and forth. But these are good ghost stories. There are a bunch of short ghost stories. But it'll take us back in time and you can get a bit of a perception on how this show began. I just love doing that every year. Eventually, I left radio. Day-to-day, regular old radio about a little bit more than a year ago now. And I said, you know, I still want to do the ghost show. I want to do, you know, and I thought, well, what if I did it every day? There's nothing stopping me from doing that. And that's where the podcast came into play. And that's how we started doing this show that you hear, Real Ghost Stories Online. But originally, it was just like a once-a-year, you know, kind of theme. And I had a lot of fun doing it. So on today's episode, we are going back to the archives, way back. Some of these calls dating back to the early part of the 2000s. I think the earliest one I have in existence is like 2004. So we'll go way back. I'll sound probably a little bit different than you are normally used to me sounding, but such is life when you listen to yourself from, you know, 12, 13 years ago. So it's a very young version of me. But let's go to those calls. We're just going to go down this list of phone calls, and you can hear some pretty creepy ghost stories. These first ones come when I was doing a night show on a country radio station in Wisconsin. Here's our first call.
I used to live in a house that was haunted, and me and my roommate one night were sitting watching TV on the couch, and we had a little beagle dog. and she was sitting between us, and at the same time we looked down at this little beagle dog between us.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we see finger marks going down her fur, like someone's petting her.
This happened to you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, it really was. And like, we used to have, like, I have a lot of nieces and nephews.
Yeah.
And when we'd come home, the toys would be out in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
But nobody, they were up so that the dog couldn't get them, and there were no kids over.
So when you saw that hand mark going down the dog's fur, did you, like, reach at the dog or anything, or did you just watch it?
No, we kind of both just watched it at the same time, looked at each other, and then we said, if you didn't see it, I didn't see it.
And what a way to write off the experience. You didn't see it, I didn't see it, nothing happened. That's a call from 2004 when I was doing a show in Wisconsin. Let's go to another ghost story caller from that era in time.
Well, I went to the Grand Opera House to see one of my friends performing a play there.
Okay.
And they have a little mini bar there, obviously. And I've
taken advantage of that a couple times.
Yeah, I was drinking a couple of beers, and I had to use the restroom, so I decided to go into the restroom and use the bathroom. And after I got done going to the bathroom, I went to go wash my hands, and I walked out, and I realized that I forgot my beer inside of there. And I walked back in there, and the faucet was still running after I shut it off. Kind of got a really eerie feeling after that, and I went and sat down and finished watching the play and decided to never go back into the restroom again.
That's kind of creepy. I'm always afraid when I'm going to, like, places that are supposedly haunted like that, that, like, when you're in the bathroom or something by yourself, you're going to look in the mirror and there's going to be somebody behind you.
Oh, that'd be freaky.
That's where I thought you were going to go with it. But, yeah, that's kind of creepy, too, where that stuff happens like that.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Oh, the younger version of me. But that location, the Grand Opera House is what it's called. It's located in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And if you want to look it up, there's a lot of paranormal activity reported at that location. And it's had several investigations done at it. Very interesting place to check out if you're into ghost hunting in the state of Wisconsin. It's one of the more active locations. Very interesting architecture in there, very, you know, old Victorian style. It's a beautiful place, but also very, very haunted. Here's another call.
All right. I was about 4 years old, and me and my brother and my sister had to feed our next door neighbor's rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And we walked into the backyard, and it was this time of year, so it was fall, and they had a pool, and the cover was on the pool. And my brother and my sister, who are older than me, went to go feed the rabbits, and I wandered into the pool area.
Uh-huh.
Well, I started jumping up and down on the diving board, and I jumped off onto the pool cover.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, in most cases, it's supposed to completely enclose you and all of that junk.
Yeah, and it didn't.
Anyway, I get home later after my mom has, you know, had a small heart attack, and she's brushing my hair, and she's talking to me, and she kind of just asked me, she was like, Chrissy, how did you get out of the pool? And I looked at her dead in the eye when I was 4 years old, and I told her, Mommy, the ladies in the white dresses picked me up.
Now, do you remember this at all?
I remember jumping off onto the pool, uh-huh. And that's about it.
So when your brothers and sisters found you, you were already out of the pool?
I was already out of the pool when they came around the corner, yeah.
Oh, wow. The story, some intervention there. The ladies in the white dresses came and picked me out of the pool. One of those stories, when told by a child, you just have to go, okay, honey, yes, the ladies in the white dresses. Oh, my God, what the hell's going on? That was an interesting one. Here's another call.
My house used to be a funeral home.
Well, that sounds like a nice real estate investment you got there.
Oh, yeah, years ago.
Okay.
Well, when I first moved there, we have footsteps that walk up and down the stairs, and people walk around our bed, and
Do you see these people, or you just hear these sounds?
We hear them. We've never seen anything, but we hear them. And friends won't spend the night anymore, and it's crazy.
So is there a morgue in your basement still?
Yeah, we don't even go in the basement anymore.
What's in your basement? Like, what parts of it?
There's an old, like, it's like an old wooden door. Like, you have to walk up in the stair, and then there's a big cement wall, and behind it is just gravel. So I don't know if there's dead body parts. Nobody knows the real story, but years ago in, like, the 1800s, it was a funeral home.
Oh, that long ago? Oh, jeez. So there was,
yeah,
like, no real big sanitation standards or anything at that
time?
Oh,
no. Well, there's probably dead people in my basement, for all I know.
That's nice and comforting.
Oh, yeah.
living in a funeral home from the 1800s. You have to really wonder what practices were being employed or not being employed at that time, and now you can't even use your basement. I wonder if what kind of a sell that would be for a real estate agent. Is that an easy sell? Is that a difficult sell to get off the market? Where this is a great three bedroom. It's an older home. It's a Craftsman style, and it's beautiful. Lots of families have lived in here. Lots of bodies have passed through, and there's also a lovely porch. Wait, bodies? Yeah, but there's a porch out back. That's just, wait, go back to the bodies. Yeah, but the porch, you got to see the porch. I wonder how easy that is. Here's another call from back in the day.
When I was like 5 or 6 years old, we lived in a trailer house right outside of Hortonville.
Okay.
And you know what it feels like when somebody's sitting on your bed?
Yeah.
Well, I woke up to that one night,
yeah.
And I saw a lady sitting on my bed. I thought it was my mom.
Yeah.
So I kept looking at her, and she was all in white. She was really pretty.
Okay.
Ran out of the room and went and slept with my mom and dad. This happened every single night. I'd always wake up to somebody.
For how long?
My bed. This happened probably like for 2 months.
Was it the same person every night that you saw sitting on the bed?
Yes, same person.
Really?
So I got used to her. So one night I woke up and saw that she was there.
Uh-huh.
Going to get ready to run to my parents' room.
Yeah.
Stopped dead in my tracks because there's this big black guy standing in my doorway.
Uh-huh.
Like, he's all in black.
Yeah.
And that was the last night I ever saw either of them.
Well, that's really creepy.
It's creepy because I told my parents about it, and my sister came out to him like a year later and told him the same story. So it happened to her.
What's so interesting about that story is it's coming from, you know, when it was happening to a child, and the child was able just to make that a normal thing in their mind. There was no, well, this is odd, this is paranormal, this should really be looked at. No, it's just normal. The dead guy shows up every night. He disappeared one night, stopped coming back. But it was normal. What else is going on that our kids are not telling us about that they think is just normal, you know, as far as supernatural or paranormal occurrences? You know, it makes you when you look back on your childhood, sometimes you get like little glimpses of things that happened, and especially like with imaginary friends. Now, I don't recall ever seeing my imaginary friends. Jenny saw hers, but that seems to be one of those revelations where it goes, wait a second, not everybody didn't see their imaginary, you know, things like that. It makes you wonder sometimes about the playmates that you had and who were they, especially if you don't know where they are anymore. I mean, this day and age, and you know, Facebook and everything, you can find almost anyone. But if there's anyone missing from that mix, or maybe you don't know a last name or something to search, who were they exactly? Were they of our time? Here's another call from back in the day.
I used to work in the intensive care unit, and I was told this story firsthand by someone who was working that day.
Okay, a reputable source?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
She was working on a hot summer day, mm-hmm. when this lady was brought in unconscious and not doing very well,
okay.
an older lady. And as she was taking care of her throughout the day, they couldn't get a hold of the family.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, she was doing badly, and the nurse was in the room with her. And a dark shadow cast over the room, and the room got very cold. And the lady who was unconscious opened her eyes and had like this horrified look in her face and screamed, this blood-curdling scream. I ran from upstairs, sorry. And then she died.
Really?
And the family came like a little bit later.
Uh-huh.
And they told the nurse that she was not a nice woman and was an alcoholic and beat her children.
Oh, so that she got what was coming to her.
Yeah.
A little bit of scream and death. A story the other day where it was something along those lines, where there was the scream and what exactly did it mean? Is it something not so good coming for someone who was not so good in life? It's interesting listening back to some of these calls and these stories. I haven't heard some of these in more than 10 years, but I can suddenly recall what they were about, having broadcast these so long ago. It's interesting, and it's fun to hear some of my reactions and the younger version of me talking. Anyway, you're listening to this is a back in the day of of Real Ghost Stories Online, if you will, the incarnation of it. These are some of the calls over the last 15 years of my career in radio that have never been broadcast to you guys before, or at least a majority of these have not been. And they're just good ghost stories. And I've always been sitting on these going, I want to put these onto an episode at some point in time. And I didn't know how, I didn't know when. I just thought, well, someday we'll do it. So I decided, you know what? I'm going to go into the archive. We're just going to go through the list and play these calls because these are definitely worth hearing. Here's another ghost story from 2004.
And there's a road called Proskarian.
Okay.
And you drive down the road, and on the left-hand side, there's a house called the Devil's House. And it's been there for like 30 years or so.
Why is it called the Devil's House?
Because you go inside and there's satanic markings everywhere, dead.
Is it like just some abandoned house or what?
Yeah. It's okay. Dead animals everywhere. Okay. People. So one night, me and my friends were driving by it, and you know, like you park in front of it and you're supposed to feel the chills of the house or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But as we're driving by, we look in the window and there's a lit candle.
Okay.
And then we pull around, we come back, and we pull in the driveway, and the candle's out.
Okay.
So then we were thinking about going in the house, but as we were walking up to the house, we heard a door open and close. So then we got back in the car and took off.
I don't blame you for taking off. I wouldn't even have pulled into the driveway.
Yeah, but it was just a manly thing to do with a bunch of us guys, and then we got all chickened out and took off.
I think anyone would have chickened out. I wouldn't feel too degraded or anything if I were you.
Interesting, interesting story. It makes you wonder there in that sort of a case of, is that a risk from the living who may be in the house, or is it the dead that are involved with the lighting of that candle? Either way, I don't think I'd want to find out.
I was out at my grandma and grandpa's, and they live out in the country.
Yep.
And where their house was, it used to be a hotel, but it burned down one night.
Okay.
And so we were out one night really late, and we had just got done playing Ghost in the Graveyard, and we thought it'd be fun to play a little basketball in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were out there playing, and the ball went out into the bushes.
Yeah.
And I was, like, so freaked out because we just got done playing that game, and everybody's like, oh, you go get it, you go get it. I'm like, no way, guys. And they're like, yeah, you go get it, come on, it'll be awesome. And I'm like, all right. So I go to get it, and I see this, like, white figure, like, maybe 10 yards in front of me, and I screamed, and I ran away. And they're like, where's the ball? I'm like, no way, guys, and I ran into the house crying.
Jeez.
I know.
Now, did you actually think you saw a figure or what?
I don't know. I'm still kind of freaked out.
Gotta love the Wisconsin accents, don't you? But obviously, a situation where she saw something. Still doesn't know exactly what it was she saw, though, which makes it all the more creepy. Let's go to another call. Hi.
Okay, about 10 years ago, my father had passed away.
Okay.
And him and I, we did a lot of woodworking together.
Okay.
Out in the shop. And him and I were the only ones that had the keys to the shop.
Yeah.
And he had passed away, and there was a project that I was working on that I had sitting on the workbench. It was all drawn out. It just had to be cut out and put together and everything else.
Yeah.
And it was sitting on the workbench. And the day that he died, I went into the workshop and just looked around and then closed it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a week later, I had went back in there. And the project that I was working on that was on the workbench was moved onto the saw.
Really?
Now you figure that one out.
I think someone from the grave had come back for one last attempt at finishing the project. Of course, our phone number here on our regular broadcast is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write in up on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So we have multiple ways for you to share a ghost story with us. Today's episode, we are looking back at where it all began. Ghost stories that were from my original broadcasts of Ghost Story Radio about once a year. On FM radio, going back more than 10 years to save these calls, because I knew at some point there would be a use for them again someday. So here it is to freak you out a little bit. Here's a call about a bit of an urban legend, if you will, and all areas of the country seem to have something like this. Here's the one that was from around the area where I grew up.
On Joe Road, you stop the car. See, legend has it that the guy died because of an old truck. He got out, his truck didn't work, so he started pushing it. Mm-hmm. Except back then, the cars were so heavy that he couldn't stop it from going over the side of the hill, and it ran him over at the T intersection. Okay. So when you get out of your car, well, you actually stay in your car, and you put it into neutral, and the car starts moving on its own. It's him pushing the car. You can feel him walking, pushing your car. And he'll push you over the side if you don't stop. So it's pretty cool.
Or physics will push you over the side of the road.
No, actually, it's kind of an inclination, slightly. People say, you know, it's what you want. But yeah.
So there you go. That was a Joe Road legend from an area in Wisconsin where I grew up, and a very common story. Teenagers going out there to try and see what would happen. What's scary about things like that is, you know, not necessarily a paranormal event occurring, but someone getting run over by their own vehicle simply because of the force that's going on. There seems to be a lot of areas around the world, around the country, where optical illusion would have you believe that the car is going the wrong direction, when in fact it is. It's all a matter of your surroundings. In some cases, could it be paranormal? I suppose, but I think in a lot of them, it's more so just urban legend and optical illusion. Hi.
Above my grandmother's house, there's an apartment. It's vacant. No one's lived there for a while since my aunt moved out. When my dad was younger, he had a dog.
Okay.
The dog's name was Buffy. Buffy wasn't scared of nothing. Buffy went after the mailman through the window.
Uh-huh.
Buffy went going to this one room in the corner of the house, upstairs. And my dad was like, come on. He was about to go to bed, and my dad was like, come on, get in the bed, Buffy. Buffy never missed a chance to hop in the bed. So Buffy cowered outside the door. Dad falls asleep, starts having this dream, and has this dream about this one guy, comes up, starts talking to him. And as he leaves away, he has like a old, like kind of like a Mountie hat, kind of like the Amish wear almost. Takes it off, throws it at my dad. My dad catches it, he wakes up. And when he woke up, the hat was in his hand, and he sees across the room, like, just a ghostly figure. Goes to my grandmother, tells her the entire dream. My grandma's face went white. My dad has never met one of his uncles. He explained in perfect detail how one of his uncles dressed, the exact same hat that he wore, and everything.
Pretty creepy. We get stories like that all the time on the show, of loved ones showing back up to someone that they never met. And it's almost always put together when they're looking at some old photos. Hey, that's the man I saw. Look at that. Oh, you never met him. Yes, I did. And a lot of times parents just write it off. Oh, it's your imagination. But I think in the back of their minds, more times than not, they know there is something else going on. Let's go to another story from back in the day.
Many years ago, when I was in high school, my sister and I were digging around in our parents' attic and found a big box full of framed photographs of people that had lived in the home back in the 1920s.
Okay.
And we brought the box down to the second floor from the attic, and we found out who the people were, you know, the name, and we did a bunch of research and found people with the same last name, but they were not related. And after a couple of weeks of doing research, we finally gave up and found out that, you know, we weren't going to be able to give these pictures to anyone. And on that day, my sister decided that she liked the old frames, and she was going to tear the pictures out, throw them away, and keep the frames. And when we went back upstairs, the box of pictures was gone, and we looked and looked everywhere, and finally we went back up to the attic, and the box was back in the same corner, buried under the other boxes where we had found it originally.
Someone or something sounds like they didn't want their whereabouts known. Be interesting to find out from that gentleman, although the call's like 10 years old, if they ever did get to distribute those pictures at all. 855-853-4802. That's our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Today's episode, listening to calls from back in the day, the calls that initially inspired this show that you listen to on a regular basis, Real Ghost Stories Online. These are calls from back in my original broadcast days. Some of these calls dating back more than 12 years. Hi.
We have a cabin up in Price County in Wisconsin, yeah. And there's a story about the cabin that we have, okay, that there was a guy that died in it.
Okay.
And one night, me and my cousins went down in the basement just to see if we could find anything. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we saw in the corner of our eyes a white glow, and we both looked, and there was a ghost standing there. He was handling an axe, and he was like, and then we all of a sudden we heard a voice, and he's like, get out and all that crap. And then we got, later that night, we all went to sleep, and where the cabin is, there's no power, so there's no lights or anything when it's all, yeah, that's it. And when you know there's someone watching you, and all of a sudden I open my eyes when I'm sleeping and there's this face looking right at me and scared the crap out of me.
And it turned out to be your ex-girlfriend, right?
Now, that's one of those stories where, you know, your spidey sense sometimes kicks in and goes, I don't know, is my BS meter going off here? We of course, on this show, the whole purpose is to take people at their word with their ghost stories. But sometimes there's certain things, certain giveaways, if you will, the way someone is delivering a story that makes you go, yeah, okay. But ultimately, I like to leave that up to you guys to decide. Do you believe it? Do you not believe it? It's not the purpose of the show to judge the stories of saying this is true, this is not true. It's more so to listen, pick and choose what you want to believe, and most importantly, be entertained and scared. 855-853-4802 is our normal phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us here on the show. Let's go to another one from back in the day.
Well, as you know, I've got several cats, and, you know, every once in a while, one of them passes on. I have 13 cats now.
Yeah, that's bound to happen.
You know, I have a special place in the backyard, put them in a shoebox, and I bury them.
Uh-huh.
And the neighbors have mentioned on occasion, I haven't seen this, mind you, but the neighbors have mentioned they think they see ghosts. Kitties walking
what?
Around. Yeah, the kitty cats apparently are spooking the backyard.
What are they seeing? Are they seeing eyes, or what are they?
Well, yeah, they'll see kitty cat eyes, and then sometimes they'll see like a ghost shape, almost like a little sheet with four legs coming out, you know?
And a ghost cat.
And I think the reason I don't see them is they're haunting the neighbors, because the neighbors were always mean to the cats.
Oh, so it's like their revenge in the afterlife.
In fact, the one that they described, I thought sounded a little bit like Plinko, my kitty cat that died not too long ago.
Yeah.
So I think they're coming back, and so it's a message to the neighbors, I think. Be nice to the cats while they're here, because you never know.
Now, if you're shaking your head at that one, that's fine. That one, I can assure you, was not a real call. That was actually, I was surprised when I pressed play on that one. I was unaware that it was a bit of a joke call that we produced 12 years ago when we were doing this format on the show. And that was Judith the Catwoman, who was a reoccurring character on my show. And Judith had cats and all sorts of, adventures with them. And it's actually performed by a man, a friend of mine, whose name is Garth Kramer, and he could do some amazing voices, one of the funniest people I've ever met, and he contributed that to one of the ghost episodes one night, and I have no problem just sharing that out there and just letting you know that one. Of course, not real, supposed to be funny, but that from a different format, a different type of show that I was doing back then. Of course, on our show, we don't deliberately put out fake calls or anything of that nature. But since we're going back in the day and getting a glimpse as to what inspired our show, I have no problem sharing some of the fun that we had back on the radio years and years ago. 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Here's another call from back then.
Actually, I have an apartment that is haunted. My roommate was sleeping one night, and I've seen this ghost more than once, but the first time I saw it, she was sleeping, and I thought I'd seen her get up and go from the bedroom to the bathroom. I was out in the living room. Yeah. And about 10 minutes later, she didn't come out of the bathroom. Well, it was a ghost that looks just like my roommate. She was still in bed. She had never gotten up. This ghost will either walk from the bedroom to the bathroom or peek around the corner from the hallway.
Can you, like, physically make out, like, the figure of this person, or is it just, like, an outline of the person that you're seeing?
No, you can actually see the figure from the waist up. You can see the actual ghost. It looks just like my roommate.
Have you ever looked up the history of your apartment?
No, I'm almost afraid to because I don't know who she is, but I have been told that the people who lived there before me, one of the girls was really into, like, Ouija boards and talking with, you know, other dimensions. I don't know how all that works, but I know that she was kind of into that stuff. So some of my friends have speculated that maybe this is somebody that she got in contact with, and it just...
There you go. Another Ouija awareness story way before we ever began Ouija Awareness Month on our show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Very creepy experience. Let's go back to another call from, I think this is a little more close to the day of today. I think this one's about 5 years back.
Okay. When I first moved in, me and my husband first moved into our house, shortly after we moved in, we noticed strange things started to happen. First, in the middle of the night, our lights would come on. We thought at that time that it was our young daughter that was getting up in the middle of the night. But when we asked her, she said she hadn't been doing it. Then we started to notice that our lights would come on at different times, you know, when we didn't flip the switch.
Mm-hmm.
We also had our TV would come on, you know, all by itself. We would have, like, a garage door open by itself.
Mm-hmm.
One night, and my husband, he was kind of skeptical. I was always thinking, you know, there was some kind of spirit or something.
Or an electrical problem.
No, not really, because one night we were both laying in bed, and like I said, he had been real skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, I could feel something pulling on the bottom of the sheets.
Uh-huh.
And then we both all of a sudden started hearing growling noise. And there was a shelf that was up above our bed, and it had never... We had a plate that was from our anniversary, and it sat there for, you know, quite a while. Everything never moved.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, that thing started shaking, and it flew off the wall. And we started both praying, and because we're both religious. And after that, it just seemed like the whole... you know, the whole spirit of the house changed, and it just had a whole different attitude or feeling to the house. Like it was peaceful. Before it felt, you know, like there was something there, or something mm-hmm. ominous, especially when we went down in the basement.
And when you hear something growling at you, that's not usually the sign of Casper the Friendly Ghost.
Well, I don't know what it was, but it was scary. It's, you know, scary enough to make us both start, you know, saying our prayers.
Did it all calm down after that? Was there any more activity after that night?
Well, the only thing is, no, it's calmed down for a lot of years, but then not too long ago, there's an episode where I couldn't get my TV to turn back on, so I thought my remote batteries had went dead.
Yeah.
So I came, that was in the basement, and I came upstairs, and before I even put the batteries in, the TV came on by itself. And then thing, you know, before when the house, you know, we thought the house was haunted, every night in the middle of the night, our radio would come on. And it would be at different times, so it wasn't like it was, you know, set with the alarm to go off or anything. So every night I would have to get up and turn that thing off, and it was just the eeriest feeling.
And you're still in this house?
Yeah, we're still in the house. We figured we just kind of learned to live with it.
It's like another
it hasn't hurt us, so.
Roommate or something.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
I don't know.
Thank you for your call.
Okay. All right, bye-bye. Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Now, it's calls like that that really, I think, piqued my interest more than anything into doing this sort of a show. Just because you can hear it in their voice. You can hear just the sincere. This is a normal person who, if you began talking to about anything else other than paranormal, you would feel completely comfortable. It's just, it's your aunt, it's your uncle, it's your cousin, it's your sister, it's your neighbor, it's a normal person who has something happening to them that they cannot explain, and they believe it is certainly paranormal. And that's exactly what our show is all about. It's real ghost stories from real people. As we used to call this show when I would do the yearly broadcast where these calls originated from years ago. Here's another call from back in the day.
About 94. Uh-huh. I moved to Alabama for a while. And there's this girl that was killed in a car accident on I-65, about the 101 mile marker. So anyways, every year after that, truck drivers, just people driving by, they're calling in at like 12 o'clock at night, around the same time where this girl died. They're doing it for about a week. Well, this girl, they see out in the median, naked. And the description is perfectly what this girl looked like.
Is this something that you saw yourself?
No, I haven't seen it myself. I was a police officer down there, and we were getting all kinds of calls from truck drivers passing through, motorists passing through.
Really?
Saying that they saw this girl from the median.
So was it like just one person made up the story and decided to do a prank call to the police department? That many people are calling in saying they're seeing same thing.
It's 10 to 15 calls within the 15-minute time period.
Did any officers go out there and investigate? Or?
Every time we got out there, it was gone.
I love stories from police officers because they have so many unexplained experiences that they have to endure and try and make logical sense. If you can't write up on your report, ghost, and write person not there or whatever they write to show that what was reported is no longer a threat, but ghost, very likely not one of them. Let's go to another call from back in the original days of real ghost stories.
We got an apartment and we were sitting around in the living room watching TV. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, 3 coins dropped into our piggy bank and none of us were close to it.
Okay.
And then we went to bed that night and the faucet in the bathroom just turned on as slow as it could go.
Really?
Yeah, it was scary.
So the coin thing, like, you heard coins, like, falling around in the piggy
bank? Yeah, it was, like, 3 of them. It just dropped 3, one at a time.
Oh,
and we all just looked at each other.
It was, like, some sort of, like, shifting in weight. It was, like, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
That's creepy. Anything else happened in that apartment?
Just, I don't know, it made a lot of scary noises.
Really? What city was this in?
In Ripon.
Okay. Was it, like, in the downtown area or what?
Yeah, it was by the college.
Okay, so kind of in a historic, was it an older building?
Yeah.
Okay.
The 22-year-old version of me trying to figure out what's haunting that lady. Ripon, Wisconsin, a very historic town, actually. Has a very historic downtown area. Really interesting, beautiful city to view. But certainly also filled with a lot of ghosts. Let's go to another story from back then.
I live in a house that's haunted.
Right now?
Yep.
Really? What city are you in?
Kind of Byron.
Okay. Well, what's like the strangest thing that's ever happened to you?
That you could hear somebody breathing outside our bedroom door. There's nobody there. When you go and look, the cupboard doors slam. When the smoke detectors blink, you can see a face in front of them. The window's open for no reason.
You can see a face where?
Like at night, if you're laying in the bed.
Uh-huh.
The smoke detectors have a little light that flicks every so often.
Yeah.
And when it flicks, you can see a face there.
In the light or what?
You'll just see a face that, like, sort of lights up right there.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you stay living there?
We've kind of got them calmed down, but now the windows are starting to open up again.
They just, do you see them opening up, or do you hear them opening up, or you walk in and they're already open? What happens?
Yeah, come home from work or school, and all of a sudden the window will be open. The old man will give me a call. Did you open the kitchen window? No. Did you? No. Well, it's open now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's...
My daughter refuses to go to bed in her bedroom.
Nothing like that kind of just nonchalant Wisconsin. Yeah, matter of fact, the ghosts do this, the ghosts do that. We watch the Packer game and everything is good. It's these are the folks that I grew up around. Some of the nicest people, really, on the planet. Just very matter of fact, straightforward. And it's amazing, especially when you talk about a topic like this. It is brought up with just such nonchalance. And this is, it's so interesting. But truly a very creepy, creepy story there of everything that's going on in that house. I never did find out any more. And I, when I do this, and we listen to these shows or these old calls, it really makes me wonder whatever happened to a lot of these people. What happened with their hauntings? What happened with their situations? I happen to wonder sometimes if some of the folks who called in these shows years ago, if they're now listeners to the show today, if they heard their call played back from 10 years ago, what they'd say about it and what their thoughts are, what the latest is. Interesting and fun to go back in time and share with you some of the calls that made Real Ghost Stories Online a reality. Hope you guys enjoyed going back in time with me today and listening to some of those calls from the archive. Every once in a while when I'm cleaning out a desk or I'm going through an old box, I find a CD or something that has audio on it. So I have a drawer of cassette tapes, and I'm wondering what's on those, too. Maybe someday we'll dig up some more that we haven't heard for quite some time, or ever, as broadcast on a small country radio station in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, in like 2002. Interesting stuff. That does it for today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, want to keep it on the air, support it. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. Back with more regular episodes of the show again tomorrow at Real Ghost Stories Online.